welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone, the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday, June 27th.
Just, you should have stopped at June. I mean, that would have been easier.
Well, here we are. I thought it might have been June 29th by now. I don't know. We've had so much fun. Days pass quickly. June 27th, here we are, the third and final hour of the show. It has flown by tonight, Bill. Now, I asked you during the break just then. I could go 24 hours straight, I think, with this sort of enthusiasm, this sort of vibrance in the crowd. Come on, everybody! We're here in the midst of so many fans of this show and in the midst of so many friends, and it's great stuff. It's great fun, and it's been one of the most memorable broadcasts in the history of this show, and we've had a lot of them, and a lot of memorable ones too, Bill.
Very memorable. That is, at least until we wake up the next morning, and then they're completely forgotten. But
that's crazy with that water. You know, that water, that Mississippi water is different than Tennessee water.
Very true. Kills brain cells at an accelerated rate.
You got that right. Well, nevertheless, here we are, and you might be listening to us on our flagship station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM. Maybe you're listening to us on one of the other AM or FM affiliates of the Liberty News Broadcasting Network, or maybe you're on the internet, satellite, shortwave. There are people tuning into us by all sorts of venues all around the world, and we're grateful to have you, whether you're in your car or in front of your computer. You're in the Political Cesspool tonight, and this is our third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast from Jackson, Mississippi, at the Council of Conservative Citizens National Conference 2009. And, Bill, we've had more stars than we can count on the show this evening. We've got another one with us now. I can't remember his name. Who is it?
It's Kyle Rogers.
I'm just joking, everybody.
Kyle Rogers of Patriotic Flags. And, Kyle, a great conference, obviously. And, of course, you carry merchandise that is, I would say, explicitly pro-white. How did you do?
Pretty good. A lot of people like my shirts, so I was pleased. Fortunately, I'm a master artist, and I came out with these stunning designs that really impressed everyone.
Now, Kyle, I do want to say this. First of all, when you go to cfcc.org, all of the content there is at Kyle's discretion. I mean, Kyle's the webmaster of the council. But you also designed some T-shirts that were very fitting for a family reunion that was in town. Is that not right?
That's right.
The white family reunion was in town.
Yeah.
You had some white pride T-shirts.
That's right.
And they were big sellers with the white family, were they not?
Yeah, they... There was a rumor over in the other conference room that there were some white pride T-shirts, and they were just breaking out the door trying to get at these T-shirts.
So you made bank again like Craig Boddicker. You and Craig are the only people who made a profit.
That's right.
You can't even count the thousands. You have money you made that you haven't even seen yet.
Yeah.
And you do good card tricks, too.
Well, I'm a master magician.
Kyle, did anyone ever tell you that you sound like Dr. Strangelove? Has that ever come up?
No.
No, that's okay. Don't.
Honestly, I don't know who Dr. Strangelove is.
You say that now.
I think that's before my
time. Do you know who Kermit the Frog is?
No. Anyway, Kyle. No, seriously. Obviously, okay. Now, seriously, you have a business online.
I've started Patriotic Flags, patriotic-flags.com, in January of 2000, and I've basically been completely self-employed for 7+ years now. And then last August, I was debt free and went straight back into debt, financing a bunch of screen printing equipment, which now dominates my house and is a huge mess, but I'm making my own T-shirts.
Well, I'll tell you this now, in all seriousness, we joke around a lot tonight because we're having a lot of fun, but Kyle Rogers' business is something that should be supported by anyone and everyone listening to this program tonight. I mean, he makes great stuff. T-shirts, he could put an emblem on any sort of fabric you can imagine, T-shirts, hats, mugs. Kyle, plug your website.
Well, patriotic-flags.com, and then I have a separate website set up just for the T-shirts, which is white-pride.org. White-pride.com was taken. I figured that org was just as well. So white-pride.org.
That's the story of our career, Kyle. ThePoliticalCesspool.com was taken, but by God, ThePoliticalCesspool.org was not. And so here we are, Bill, 5 years later. But no, everybody, and when you go to our website, Kyle's logo and link can be found in our, underneath our sponsor segment on the homepage. And we encourage you to go and get it because you offer, Kyle, seriously, more products than we can advertise on air. I mean, it's a ton of stuff. You got a lot of stuff. It will appeal to all sorts of different people, and they can get it online. They can get
I got a few different series of shirts. I'm trying to come out with new ones. Basically, I got Revolutionary War line. I got Gadsden flags on all different colors of shirts, a couple of different variations. I got a political line, mostly anti-Obama.
Everybody!
I've got a couple anti-gun control t-shirts. And then the famous ones, which I started about 3 years ago at a local screen printing shop in Charleston, I made two different White Pride t-shirts. And so what I'm most famous for is the White Pride t-shirts. And the first one I ever made is green with a white print. It's got a shamrock, and it says, "White Pride, Save Our Culture." And I'm proud to say that, that on these websites like Cafe Press and Spreadshirt, there's all different ones all over the world now. People are actually copying my White Pride Shamrock t-shirt now.
Well, Kyle, I got to ask you this. I got to ask you one thing. Now, people have lost their, not only their jobs, but they've lost their elected offices because of this. Do you have any t-shirts that emblazon the image of the White House with a watermelon patch in front? Because that's what I want to buy.
No, but I do have no Obama. And I have Buck Farrakh.
Okay, Kyle, I've got a question. I've got a real question for you, okay?
Was my question not real about the watermelons?
It was very real, James. Okay, it's okay. has there been an increase in sales of the merchandise that we would call, you know, White Pride or ethnically
well,
conscious?
Well, as far as the t-shirts, like I said, I just, like last August, I went to Atlanta and took a two-day class in Atlanta, and then I started financing equipment. So I haven't been in the t-shirt thing for that long, but I will say that about really the middle of January when Obama was sworn in, the sale of flags, like the Gadsden flag in particular, I mean, just about every Gadsden flag in the country had sold out between January 5th and April 15th for the tea parties. I mean, there was literally a run on Gadsden flags and Gadsden flag merchandise.
And explain once again what the Gadsden flag is, Kyle.
Well, the Gadsden flag is a colonial flag. Christopher Gadsden, who defended Sullivan's Island, Fort Moultrie.
And South Carolina.
This is Charleston stuff. Is credited with designing it. It's yellow, rattlesnake, don't tread on me.
Don't tread on me.
And that has become a major, major, major popular flag once again since Obama has been elected.
Did we let Al Sharpton tread on us, Bill, in 2005 when they wanted to rename Nathan Bedford Forest Park?
I don't know, but I feel like I'm co-hosting with the great Karnak right now. No, absolutely not. Well, Kyle, that's fascinating. And you say sales are good right now? I mean, there's no apparent...
Surprisingly, I mean, when Obama was declared the winner, I had like one of the best days of flag sales in the history of my business.
And I know that also in your capacity as webmaster of the Council of Conservative Citizens national website, you saw traffic that was through the roof.
Oh, well, it's basically since October, since the race heated up in October, traffic on the CFCC.org went through the roof. Now, I was afraid that it would die down, but it's really still up there. It's consistently stayed sky high since last August.
So people are concerned about the repercussions of the Obama administration.
Exactly.
I mean, we got a minute left, Kyle. People that are paleo-conservative of European-American descent, they are concerned about what the future may hold
right.
under such a totalitarian and Marxist administration.
Right.
And so they're looking for alternatives.
That's exactly right.
And here we are.
That's right.
There you go. I love guests that agree with everything I said.
We only allow people on the show who are suck-ups, Kyle. So it's a good thing you went along with everything you said.
I'm a professional, yes, man.
Because we would crush you on the air.
We know, I'll say anything if I can advertise.
All right, yeah, 30 seconds left, Kyle. Plug it one more time. 30 seconds.
Right, I got the White Pride shirts. I got a Leif Erikson t-shirt. Probably the only Leif Erikson t-shirt out there.
Leif's a big hero of yours, Bill.
So lots of really cool stuff.
Leif for the Tree Hugger.
.org.
All right, everybody, and check Kyle's workout in his capacity as CSCC Webmaster National. CofCC.org. And we'll be back with more in the Political Cesspool right after this.
Bill Lord coming up. Bill Lord.
And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, because it will carry away. And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We've got 40 minutes left in tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. And I reiterate once again that this has been, out of nearly or maybe over 1,000 live broadcasts that we've done in the course of the past 5 years, the most fun I've ever had on talk radio tonight. And that includes television radio. More fun tonight than on CNN. They airbrushed me, Bill. They sent limousines. I'm still having more fun. They pay for a nice hotel.
All I'm going to say, it's a good thing the FCC doesn't have a breathalyzer test. Because
all that water me and you were drinking.
Because our audience would be on the way downtown. But we got a guest on deck. One of the great people of the CFCC, of the Council of Conservative Citizens. My very good friend and our very special guest, Bill Lord.
Now. Everyone, Bill Lord is the vice president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, which over the course of the last 20-some-odd years, 20 years, has been the most effective paleoconservative movement out there. I got to tell you this, Bill, in all honesty, every time we come, I'm going to be honest.
All right. That's the only way you can be.
Every time we come to a national conference or the board meeting in Nashville in November, my wife wants to make sure that two people are going to be there, I should say. One is Gordon, the other is you. Man. That's how high up on the charts you are.
Boy,
is Bill Lord going to be there? Bill Lord's going to be there.
But you mentioned Gordon first.
Well, no, I mean, they're interchangeable. No.
Okay, all right.
They're interchangeable. She says, is Bill going to be there? Is Gordon going to be there? Is Gordon or Bill? As long as they're both there, she'll come.
Good. God bless her. Good. That's one reason I come, to see her.
She loves the Lord.
Oh, that's good. I know. She needs to get close to me.
She needs to get closer to the Lord.
I'd like to say what a pleasure it is to be on y'all's show here.
You've never been on the show, man. That's a travesty.
I've never been on there before.
That's a crime. What the hell's the matter with you, Bill?
I was on there with Marge Thrasher. Remember Marge?
In Memphis, yes.
In Memphis, yeah. I was on there. Oh, we had some real good times. I had a colored gentleman call up there one day. Told me I wanted to put him back in the cotton patch. I told him only cotton he ever seen was the top of an aspirin bottle.
Well, Bill.
Here we go. Pushing the threshold once again.
And once again, we're going right to the edge, just like with Dent Myers in Georgia. But that's
hey, that's a show that never even made it to the broadcast archives. You had to listen live to get Dent Myers when he was on the set.
Okay, Bill. This council conference. Clearly a capacity crowd, a very good venue, very good hotel. Your thoughts on the future of the council?
I think the future is bright for the council. I tell you, we had a great conference. Everybody keeps telling us the best one we ever had. Actually, we had more named speakers before. We've had people like, you know, Governor Kirk Fordyce, we had Senator Trent Lott and others. But we had some excellent speakers, and everybody's enthused. We had several hundred people here. We had a capacity crowd, and you couldn't ask for anything better. And as for the future, I think it's only going to get better because we've got to continue this fight, try to win. Because if we lose, I'll tell you, the results will be horrible. And I think we've got to stay in the fight.
Well, thank God we've got 19-year-olds like Bill Rowland leading the charge.
Boy, good thing you're not on TV.
Hey, that's what my wife always says. I got a face made for radio.
Well, Bill, I know you're probably aching for supper right now.
I am aching for supper.
I was with Bill in the bathroom in the last national.
Wait a minute. You're going to clear that up. You'll be in the bathroom doing what?
Well, we were in line at the trough, I should say. Anyway, but Bill said he's hungry for supper, so we're going to let Bill go. But we're thankful that he was able to spend a couple of minutes with us on air live tonight on the Political Cesspool. Bill, you're a hero of mine. God bless you. And we'll see you in Nashville in November.
Good deal. Thank you.
All right, now once again, I gotta give credit to Jamie Kelso, who's done such a good job of keeping us on track tonight. Jamie Kelso, our on the road producer / engineer / everything. What's for Jamie tonight? We'd be doing it on cell phone in our hotel rooms. Jamie, how much time we got left in the next commercial break?
We got about 6 minutes.
We got 6 minutes of this.
Okay, we got time for one more guest.
Plenty of time.
Let's get Jason out of the audience here. Come on up, Jason.
Another face from the crowd, Jason. Everybody. That's a smattering of applause. That's never going to do. I said, Jason, everybody, come on. Jason, where are you from?
Fairfax, Virginia.
Fairfax, Virginia. That's D.C. That's Jared Taylor's realm, Bill. How long have you been listening to the Political Cesspool?
About a year.
About a year. Everybody's been listening for a year. We've been on for 5 years. Where were they?
Well, you know, James, I mean, it takes time for, you know, the
mildew
to spread.
The snowball effect to take form.
But anyway, Jason, we're glad to have you on the show. And you were here at the conference, and yeah. I heard you at lunch and talking about different topics. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to ask you, obviously, we were at the conference. Obviously, it was a great conference. We've been over that about 100 times. But your views on the future, the reason you're here, and you know, just give us some of your points of view.
Well, I just want to say that I'm ecstatic to be here because we're having a fantastic time, and you'd have to be a fool to not want to be a part of this. So everybody at home, log on to the internet, become a member of the CFCC, and don't miss out on any more of this fun. As far as where we're going, the revolution isn't going to be televised. This is historic, what's happening right now. The momentum is building in the body politic, and it's on our side, and we're now able to speak to the people. And the establishment media for decades now, for a century, has been able to control our people and prevent them from hearing the truth. Now we're able to get to them, and the movement is growing, and to their dismay and to their disgust, because we are the antithesis of everything they believe in and want to accomplish.
Now, Bill, this is once again a gentleman, and I don't think a true word was ever spoken, a gentleman that you have selected from this audience to appear on this program tonight. Can you overstate the intellect and the articulation of the words that this man possesses? I mean, this is our audience is a very well-educated audience.
James, all I'm going to say is that your eyes are the most stunning shade of red now that I've ever seen.
That's because
you're absolutely right.
That's because of the contacts. I don't normally wear contacts on the air, but since we're live, I'm shedding the spectacles.
That's right. We're actually in a poorly lighted area. But seriously, what you said was true, James. Whatever it was, but. But getting back to it, you know, exactly. We've got to have more fellowship with our people. And it's not anything to be ashamed of. And obviously, it's great fun because we've got a really fun crowd out here that is listening to the show and are all together. And so, you know, I think, Jason, when you talk about fun, you're exactly right. You know, we don't want to take ourselves so seriously that we go to a point of gloom and despair, and I think it's a very important issue is to remember that you know, we get together and we do enjoy each other's company, and certainly I mean, have you enjoyed the company you've had here so far?
I've loved it. Both you gentlemen are first class people, and I've made dozens of friends while being here. This is my first conference, and I'll be sure to attend every one from here on out.
Well, we look forward to it. We hope you will be here for every conference.
Well, and like everyone else, sign up for the email list at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And we've been promoting this conference, the Conference of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and we will promote all of the great conferences of the right. And you will be in receipt of firsthand knowledge of that of the different conferences that are coming down the pike if you subscribe to the email list at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We'll be back with you in just a moment from Jackson, Mississippi, where the ice water packs a punch.
And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, because it will carry all your cares away.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. The Political Cesspool Radio Program, Saturday, June 27th. We're live from Jackson, Mississippi. The Council of Conservative Citizens 2009 National Conference. They were happy, good enough, I should say, both, I guess, to host us live from their convention. And here we are out of the studios and in the midst of so many adoring fans. Bill, does it seem like we've been on the air for 2.5 hours or more like about 2 seconds?
Are you kidding? It's the longest 2.5 hours of my life. No, seriously, we've had a lot of fun. And, you know, we've got another very active council member with us, Mark from St. Louis.
Yes.
And, Mark, it's great to have you on. You're a great supporter of the show, great supporter of the council.
Thank you,
you've been all over this place. I mean, everywhere I go, the elevator, it's like there's 100 marks all over the hotel because I run into you everywhere.
This is very encouraging, and I would like to say that the 2009 Council of Conservative Citizens Conference has been a huge success. We are recharged, re-energized, and we are ready to fight the false gods of political correctness. There is a new awakening in this age because of the Obama nation, and you will see it firsthand.
Now, Mark, you've done a lot of work on behalf of this program over the course of the last several years. Can you put into digest style what you've done for it?
Well, I do a lot of the audio work with the CFCC and the political cesspool. And I'm an assistant to the webpage. I run articles. I proofread. And I do anything I can to help to make this movement go forward and to retake our heritage.
Well, Mark, and you've done a lot of work in terms of archiving the Political Cesspool program. So when people go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and they listen to our broadcast archives, you're a reason for a lot of the listening enjoyment that they have.
This is true. I am proud and very happy to do it.
And not too modest either.
No.
Well, Mark, are we going to go to Fright Fest in St. Louis in October or what?
We are going to do it. Like James, yes, I do like Disney World and Six Flags. It's an escape. It's a getaway from the madness that we have in this cultural Marxist age that we live in.
Bill, are you going to go to Fright Fest?
Listen, you know, if I want to be frightened, I'll drive through downtown Memphis at 1 a.m. in the morning.
What are you talking about?
And keep my hands in the car. I'll tell you. I don't know. What is Fright Fest? I don't even know what it is.
What are you talking about? That's Six Flags' Halloween festivities. Where have you been?
I've been tied up with a real life, if you don't mind.
One of our weaknesses that we do love amusement parks. It's an escape. And you have to have some kind of escape in this crazy day and age that we live in.
And Six Flags is letting adults in for kids' price right now, so they got to get the plug.
This is right.
And the CCC is headquarters in St. Louis, so it all ties in together.
There you go.
So, Mark, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for spending a couple of minutes.
Thank you for all of your service to not only the conservative cause, but to this radio program. Mark Palazzolo, everybody.
Well, James.
How much time do we have left?
Well, James, I was going to tell you, we're down to the last stretch here. And, of course, we saved the best for last for our audience. We're going to bring him up right now. One of our favorite guests, one of the best guests we've ever had on the show in terms of providing us with real intellectual stimulus, Dr. Tomislav Sunik. Come on up here, Don. Come on, Tom.
Tom Sunik!
He is on deck.
Well, thank you, folks. These are very flattering words, and go ahead, and I'm all yours, and I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, see, we picked Tom. We saved the best for last.
I'm in good mood, folks.
We are. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell
you,
by the way.
Can you tell?
I guess I would probably be the only sober one here.
Except for me and Bill, of course, for all of you tuned in from the FCC.
That's right.
But anyway, we saved the best for last. And when we say we saved the best for last, keep in mind this is a man following Paul Fromm, Sam Dixon, Jerry Taylor, and everyone else we've had on this program that I can't remember, Craig Potiker. What a show it's been tonight. But now all the people out here think I'm joking. This is pay-per-view. If I don't get $20 from each of you, there's going to be hell to pay before this night's over.
You need to make sure you put on your Speedos so they can stuff dollar bills there, James. I mean, you forgot that's the primary reason. But, Dr. Tom, it's you always really bring up the level of discourse when you're at a meeting here. And I mean, we're getting a little serious here. I, at the very end here, we're getting a little serious. But you spoke to us this evening at the council meeting about the political tides in Europe. And the Euro elections seem to encourage a lot of people in terms of the rise of the right. But
absolutely. There's no question about that. But let me tell you, this is more of a psychological saturation, because both in Western Europe, let alone in Eastern Europe, folks are getting fed up with this politically correct discourse. And you may have noticed, and our listeners certainly will notice, that I like to harp on this issue of political discourse, because after all, the bottom line is we have to retrieve our words, we have to retrieve our language, not just the English language, but the meaning of the words that have been stolen, hijacked, and kidnapped from us.
Well, I kidnapped actually the slogan from Utah in my remarks last night. We have got to change the way the discourse is presented. We don't have to change our image. Our image is perfect the way it is. We don't have to change our message. It's accurate as it is. We've got to change the way that our image and our message is received and perceived from the dumbed down masses. And the way that that's done is through mainstream media. How important is it to change the public discourse? This is something that you're always talking about.
Sure. Well, listen, I keep saying over and over again, first and foremost, you got to know who your enemy is. And then once you decipher, as the policemen say, once you case your enemy, try to use his weapons. Don't come up come out with the lingo that may be offensive to their ears. The reason I'm telling you that, look, I was a hippie when I was a kid. I dropped out. I know the left very, very well. I studied with them in my undergraduate work back in Europe, in Western Europe, in Eastern Europe, and also at UC Santa Barbara. One thing that shocked me when I was at the UC system, when I did my doctorate, and literally back in the late 80s, I met more Marxists, literally more Marxist intellectuals here in the United States of America than back in all of Eastern Europe.
Were you hanging out with the Republican Party back then, Tom, or what was it?
Well, and this was shocking for me, because you understand what I'm talking about here. And this is something that we have to contain. In other words, the best way of doing it is just by using their lingo, by using their weapons, by presenting ourselves not just as some like right-wingers or something, because those words mean nothing nowadays. We just have to, well, to put it simply, we just have to present ourselves as presentable folks, not necessarily with earrings or tattoos, just as presentable
normal folks that people can relate to.
And why I'm saying this, because we've got to work on our credibility. This is nowadays the most important thing. So let's first build up our credibility. I don't care whether my enemies love or hate me. I don't care. I couldn't care less. But they respect me. So we have to elicit respect from our enemies. That's what I'm doing. And the reason I'm telling you that, James, is precisely because we frequently overestimate the left. You know, we just give them certain amount of intelligence, which they don't have. But what I admire, I have to tell you that, I have to tell our audience, I admire amidst the left, they are far more disciplined than we are. They are less intelligent, but they are more disciplined. And the problem with us conservatives are, let me tell you, this is an important thing. We keep talking about community, organic society, but I've never seen so much individualism. So much, you know, this ego trips as among ourselves. So we got to really, really work very much on our characters.
Did you think that is there less of that sort of individual egoism in Eastern Europe. I know you don't like that term.
Right.
But the eastern part of Europe, I should say, where Croatia, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, is there less of this emphasis on individualism and individual style than in Western Europe, do you think?
Well, I guess I'm just talking very generally in terms of our movement. I've noticed, and I'm not going to drop the names here, that there is a great deal of this individualism. Everybody wants to be the first in the limelight. I guess we have to sort of bridge those gaps and just accord and give everybody his own due.
Let me ask you this. Okay,
sure,
let me rephrase the question. Do you think there's more emphasis on the idea of individuality, individualism in the East, in the former Soviet bloc countries, than there was before the Soviet Union fell? That is to say, before that influence went away, has Western individualism, in a sense, a threat to
contaminated the East? Well, to a large extent, you can say. Well, I don't know if you are reading each other correctly. The communist system, you know, inherited the worst part of communism, this Homo Sovieticus mentality, how to rip each other off, how to look for shortcuts. But on the other hand, what I fear now with the Soviet, or the Russia, if you wish, or with Croatia, we are being inundated with these cheap thrills, with those movies, with those soap operas, Oprah Winfrey and all this crap. And this is what I call even worse than this hardcore communism that we experienced and endured back in the 60s and 70s. So this is what I call soft totalitarianism. And we have to fight. Actually, we are fighting the war on two fronts.
We'll be back with more with Dr. Tomislav Sunic, author and former Croatian diplomat, when the political cesspool concludes in the very next segment, right after these words from our sponsor. We'll be back, everybody.
And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, because it will carry all your cares away.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We've got one final segment in this three-hour odyssey that was the Political Cesspool Live broadcast of Saturday, June 27, 2009. And we're still with Dr. Tomislav Sunic, the noted author, lecturer, and diplomat, official diplomat of the nation of Croatia. Tommy's made some very astute and poignant points in the last few moments. Are any of these tenets apparent in your book, Homo Americanus, Child of the Postmodern Age, or any of the thoughts that you've given with us and shared with our audience in the last few minutes, readable in your book?
Oh, sure, by all means. In fact, guys, I got to thank you for plugging my book on your show. I guess it's, you know, by the way, it also has a very, very good preface by a good friend of mine, Kevin McDonald. I'm sure you're familiar with his name.
Kevin McDonald! Dr. McDonald on the show just last week.
Oh, he's a great guy. And by the way, I'd like to thank him as well for his moral support. And by the way, I know that there are some folks who are now in Croatia, in Europe, in the UK, who are tuned in. Hello, Alex. Hello, Troy. How are you doing? I'm with you. Xenia, my wife, she's also listening. And also, I need to thank my fellow friends and my good colleagues, Greg in Santa Cruz, and also Rodney Miller down in SLO in San Luis Obispo. And plenty of other friends and our patriots back in Montana, April as well. And I've been really welcomed like a king, and I really appreciate that our folks who put the interests of their community above their own interests.
Makes you glad you lived this long, doesn't it, Bill, that we're able to broadcast live to California, Montana, Croatia, and everywhere in between. They're listening to us tonight.
Sure.
Well, I can tell you I am glad I've lived this long, James. I don't know about you, but I am glad I've lived this long. But, Tom, There seems to be, and our good friend Sam Dixon said this once. He said that wherever he goes in Europe, he feels at home.
Oh, sure.
Do you feel the same way? I mean, when you're among Southerners and the people around, you feel
sure
at home. And that must say something about the connection our people have. I mean, there must be some sort of common, common bond, common bloodline, common connection between...
Absolutely. Well, listen, I take this for granted, but there's no need even to quarrel about the meaning of this, of your words. I must tell you, Bill, you are sometimes too philosophical, and you ask me pretty heavy questions. But the fact of the matter is, we have to avoid those tribal disputes. You know what was happening in Europe in the 20th century, and I keep saying, I'm not going to be too explicit, do not give your enemy or detractors a chance to discredit you. So in other words, before you start a discourse, or for that matter, before you write the piece of prose or an essay or anything, always ask yourself who benefits from it. Cui bono? All our little quarrels and intrigues and who is, you know, who wants to be the first one. Ask yourself a question, who benefits from it? And we know deadly well who benefits from it. We're in a majority, after all, regardless of the fact that we make 8% of the mankind. But nonetheless, we have enough brains, we have enough muscles. I mean, look, you know, look, you have 500 conquistadors who came to Latin America. You had a bunch of people who actually inhabited the 13 colonies. Look at Australia. You had really Promethean folks, and this is what actually characterizes, so to speak, the white race, this Promethean spirit that we inherited from our forefathers back thousands of years ago.
Well, Tom, you bring up a good point. We're always referred to as the oppressive majority here in America, which is inappropriate, labeling. But when you look at the world population, the global population, I don't like to consider myself a citizen of the world, but the European derivative people are 8% of the world population. So we are anything but a majority when it comes to a global scale.
But when push comes to shove, what really counts is the intelligence. Just look at our enemies. Let me just play a little bit the devil's advocate. Look at the Bolsheviks. Do you know how many they were? They even came from the United States of America. Trotsky was an American citizen. He came with a bunch of American Jews and so on to Russia. There were about 800 of them. But they were intelligent people. They knew what they were after, and they succeeded. So basically what I'm saying, try to use the methods, try to use the tools of your enemies. We are not in such a poor situation, and I don't want a sort of a self-pity. This is the worst thing we indulge in. Let's just be a little bit more proactive, and I keep saying it's ingrained, it's in our genes. We have this Promethean type of a gene. We just have to resuscitate it a little bit. So instead of, you know, watching those stupid TV programs and whatever, being on drugs and drinking beer, but we should.
We've been drinking water tonight. Tom, what are you talking about?
Beer is fine. It's fine. Don't get me wrong. But I guess we have there is a tremendous potential even in this country, you know. And I wouldn't like this potential to be recovered, so to speak, only in the case of emergency. We have to prevent the case of emergency. And we can do it, as our friend Pat Buchanan said, through cultural warfare. That's what we first need to actually accomplish. So first and foremost, let us provide the intellectual background. The Marxists call it cultural hegemony. You know how they succeeded in 68? They infiltrated the universities, and they actually imposed that particular discourse. And we also became the victims of this discourse. Now it's our turn to retrieve those words and actually to demolish those words, like ethnic sensitivity training, affirmative action, or whatever those words mean. These are nonsense words. They make no sense. We have to give them the real sense. That's what we have to harp on. First with the discourse and then with the ideas, and then only after that you can aspire to the political power.
Well, that's something that Keith Alexander, a loyal contributor and a co-host of this program, a man who has, in a normal setting, and this is obviously an extraordinary setting where we're broadcasting remotely from a conference in a different city, but Keith Alexander normally has the Behind Enemy Lines segment for a half an hour each program. And one of the things he says is that what one man can do, another can do, and we need to mimic and copy the playbook of the left, because it was no more daunting a task for the cultural Marxists in the 1950s to come over to America and change things to the extent that they have here in 2009, and they were successful in that, than it is for us in 2009 to change things back. So this is something, and I think you mentioned it, Tom, in your last last statement.
Right,
we've got to mimic the tactics of the left. They've been effective.
Yes, precisely. But if I can just plug a little bit my book and my website, www.tomsonic.info, and I'm discussing about this idea of cultural hegemony. And whatever I may think about the left, of course I always despise them. But the fact is, they are much more disciplined. Just take a very trivial example. You can't line up 10 or 20 people with the flyers and posters, just something mild, and tell them, this is our country. Let's get rid of illegal, clandestine, and criminal immigrants. Whereas when the leftist demonstrators, or intellectuals for that matter, when they do something, they're able to line up 1,000 people immediately. And I sometimes wonder, why is that the case? Are we afraid, or what's going on with us?
Good question. I mean, I think that is a good question. Why is it that the left goes public with their discourse?
They go public, and they have no shame. They have no sense of constraint. And I think we got nothing to hide. After all, we're all law-abiding citizens. And I guess all what we want, we just want to abide by our constitution and retrieve our rights, you know, that have been stolen from us. It is a typical salami tactics. You know what salami tactics was used by communists back in the 60s and the 70s in Eastern Europe? They don't just force it on you in one push. They just go little by little. And if you don't put up resistance, then of course they sort of have another alibi to swallow you up.
Well, Tom, I mean, I can't thank you enough for joining us. And so many great visionaries, and I say again, luminaries have joined us tonight in the program. Bill, there's never been a show we've had so many great characters on the program. I mean, it's truly an all-star lineup of guests, not to mention the great members of the listening audience who have joined us on the air tonight. If this isn't a show for the history of the broadcast archives, I don't know what it is.
Jamie, allow me also to thank my good friend Jamie Kelso. He's truly, I told him the other day, and I wasn't joking, he could make the best tour operator in Croatia. He could make lots of money. He's really a guy who is able to find cheap airfare tickets. So, guys, if you want to talk to him, talk to him. And plus, you know, it's very rare. I've been 3 weeks with him. We haven't had a minor quarrel or anything.
Jamie's that kind of guy, Tom. Yeah, I mean, he's a logistical genius.
He made this show. I got to push him sometimes to get up and put his things. He sometimes loses things at the airport.
Because of his health?
But he's a good guy, and plus he's a computer wizard. He helped me out with this stuff, and I'm very grateful for that.
Now, Keith Alexander gives you a good tour of Memphis, too, does he not?
Oh, yeah. He's
I remember
Tom, you're going to give us a Croatian send-off right now.
Yes.
In Croatian.
Okay, well, hvala lijepa, dragi prijatelji. Čućemo se ponovno i ja sam ovdje svojim prijateljima u Americi. Sve najbolje. I can say it in French. Monsieur dame, bonjour, chers amis. Enfin, je suis avec mes collègues ici, James Edwards and Bill Rowland. Je savoure la soirée. Meine Damen und Herren, also beste Grüße aus Jackson. Und ich bin hier mit den guten Kameraden und Kollegen und bis bald, wir sehen uns bald. Tschüss, wiedersehen, thank you very much, and have a nice day, guys.
Hey, that was German.
If you tuned in online or in your car, you're not drunk. That wasn't in English.
Yeah, well, they were listening to me as well.
20 seconds, everybody. Thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. I'm sending Bill Rowland out to collect your donations now. Bill, you want to work the crowd? No, to Tom Sunick, Paul Fromm, too many people we can mention, Craig Boddicker, Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor, Derek Black, and everyone else who's been with us this evening. God bless. Thank you for being with us. I will be back in Memphis next week on the Festival. Good night, everybody. I'm Jeff Edwards with Bill Rowland. We'll see you next week.
For our audience.
Make a donation to keep this program on the air. Go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.